comme ça.
Tout le monde a parlé de gouvernement, débarquement, commandant, agrément, descendant, président,
président,
parlement,
parlement,
amendement,
amendement,
autant. Mais comment, man?
Si je paye, nous vont carré monter.
C'est la peine à demander. Sans suspendre couler. C'est haïtien nous y est. Nous tous ces frères nous y est.
Pour nous tout en conscience. Bah Haïti en chance. Au ballon l'autre prestance. Aux en avant différents.
Haïti,
à nous mettre Haïti en premier.
C'est l'école nous mander, l'hôpital nous manquer, on fait élevage planté, pour tout le monde jouer manger.
Six banques à débriser, en six banques des voisins,
en
nous c'est clair où
c'est,
où la vie va changer.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Combat Laka on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C., with your host, Eugenia Charles. It is Saturday, January 18, 2020. As we about to celebrate MLK's birthday, once who spent his lost his life to allow us to be here, work very hard for many of us to be able to go to integrated schools, to be able to speak and have folks look at us by the content of our characters. That's very important. We should honor this man. So I hope you all are doing some community service to remember him for all the things that he has done. Bonsoir, communauté haïtienne. Non, c'est 18 janvier 2020. Il fait 9h02. C'est Eugenia Charles qui rentre dans le salon Lacaou ensemble avec Combite Lacaou. Nous souhaitons te passer une très bonne semaine. Donc, on connaît week-end ça. Lundi qui a venu, nous allons célébrer la vie Martin Luther King Jr. Un potorique garçon qui baille la ville pour permettre nous-mêmes noirs dans le pays. Bon, ici, Timoun nous capable chita souvent l'école, même côté avec l'autre. Moun yo. Donc, faut que nous honorer voyant garçon ça, li permettre les nous parler avec un monde pour yo garder ça n'a dit qui action que nous poser au lieu pour yo juger nous sous couleur pour nous. Donc on est pays ici toujours grand pile travail qui pour fait dans domaine ça. Parce que son gros cause lié jusqu'à présent n'a fait face à lui-même, donc pour arriver côté me penser et mais qui était besoin de rivière. Mais quand même, faut que nous honorer, il faut que nous songer, il faut que nous commémorer pour travail que il fait. Assoya nous compter passer soirée ensemble avec Julie Dantor pour nous faire un petit parler sur question 10e année tremblement de terre là, font petit parler de politique la caille et font petit parler de MLK tout. So this evening, we'll spend the hour with Julie Danto, an attorney with the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. She's no stranger to Combat Lacaille. We'll talk about, of course, what's been going on in Haiti, look at the anniversary of the earthquake. She'll be reading us excerpt from her wonderful piece that she wrote in honor of those who have passed and all the work that she's been doing for years and years. So let's go to a musical break and we will come back to spend some more time together and talk about Haiti. It's cold, the snow is here, people. So we look forward to a great show this evening, and I want to wish you a happy birthday to my beautiful daughter, Mikael Dantiana Maturin, away in college, but beautiful. Happy birthday. Enjoy. It is a pleasure. May the ancestor bless you. Give you many, many more years and allow you to be very successful in your endeavors. Let's listen to There's this new song that I just come across. Hopefully I found it for you. It is about unemployment in Haiti. Except when I needed it, it didn't go where I wanted it to be. But I am going to find it for you because I think it's a great song for the amount of unemployment we have in Haiti. We have to talk about that because young people have many young men and women who goes to schools and spend years on the bench have not been able to find a job. Let's listen to Revion Chome.
L'école, moi diplômé, me chercher travail, me pas ça trouver ça, c'est un trahi. Aïe, laisse ça me frustrer, me sentir réduit. Envie crier, envie lever, camper. Rêve-moi, c'est ouais, prenez un travail pour me suspendre, faire coutaille sous la jambe, mon la caille. Rêve-moi, c'est ouais, prenez un travail pour me suspendre à la mascaille, pour tel machin fritaille. Pays côté plus passé 80% j'aime pas travail. Dirigeant pitot fait honte, c'est vie colère, n'envoyez pas World of pas si pas là. Aïe, laisse ça me frustrer, me sentir me réduit. M'envie crier, m'envie lever, camper. Ça c'est situation toute jeune en Haïti. Son vie pas vie et pas de mérite vivre. Moun pa gen dwa jan vivre an chômage. Chômage la folle fini, l'on pas de travail, je méprisé ou. Ça c'est situation tout jeune en Haïti.
Chômage.
Son vie pas vie et pas de mérite vivre.
Chômage.
Moun pas de gain droit, j'en vivre en chômage.
Welcome back to Combit Laka on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C. Nous dit abas chômage, down with unemployment. A lot of young people going to school but not able to find employment. So that's what the song is about as we look more forward into 2020. We'll hope that there will be job creations to allow young people to be able to work and certainly fulfill their dreams of being able to take care of their own, you know, their own selves and give back to their family who've worked to support them and allow them to get that piece of education. So this week, in Haiti, things, as usual, has been pretty spicy. There was a lot of talk, continuation of talk with the parliamentary situations. As you know, on Monday, the 13th, one-third of the Haitian parliament's mandate expired. There was supposed to be two-thirds of the parliament's left. The president had put out two tweets late Sunday evening, acknowledging that the Senate was no more, and the Chamber of Deputies themselves, they've been done since October. So there was not another election that took place for new members to be able to be sworn in this past Monday. There were a few, some of the senators that are having issues is that from the election that we had, especially the election which led to President Jovenel Moïse coming into office, senators like Yuri La Tortue, Jean-René Lacenatus, Patrice Dumont, Madame Dieudonne from Cap Haitians, and some others, J.P. Chérubin, their mandate is not supposed to expire until 2022, but given that the president has decided that the Senate is no more, so he's only considering really the senators who are, will be one third. Those are the senators who are members of his party. So Senator Jean-Marie Salomon, along with Yuri La Tortue, Patrice Dumont, they give a press conference to voice their concern with the president invading their sections of the parliamentary decisions, because as you know, the constitutions lay out separations of power. The president has his responsibility, the parliamentaries has their own responsibilities. And on Tuesday, they were supposed to have a vote to elect a new office. To everybody's amazing surprise, a police were stationed outside the parliament, and there was one particular police officer who had a phone in his hands with a list of who can go inside the Senate. So people, many of the senators whose mandate is supposed to finish on 2022, and there are also many of the senators who's been very vocal about the policies of the president, was not allowed to enter the Senate. Those who were allowed to enter were members from the PHTK party, which is the party that the President Jovenel Moïse is elected with. They had their sessions. They elected a new president for the Senate, Treasury, and Vice President. To my great surprise, Senator Fetier, he is one senator who was actually pulled out his weapon and shot a journalist in the hand, has also been elected. So it's a quite interesting situation in Haiti. Very, very interesting. We're going to take a quick musical break and we'll come back to continue chatting with you.
Femme dit que la vie me change, j'aime quand elle marche et pied à terre. Malgré l'envie quand elle, tout coulé à son agrin. Papa me dit que je vais poser là, jusqu'à ce qu'elle vienne prendre. Même pour monter à l'école, je suis mis à vous m'aller. Valise, je ne vais pas plus qu'on crée en cahier. Nous démarrer, on a le pied ensemble, l'envie à joue pas.
Welcome back to Combi Tlaka on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C. We have our guest, attorney Ezuli Danto from the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. Welcome to Combi Tlaka. How are you doing, my sister? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. May this honor and respect to all of your listeners, of course. I bow down to the spirit of the person allowed us to be here, which is our friend Eve Point du Jour.
Yes, indeed. Ashe.
And I say, it's been 10 years since the earthquake, right?
Yes, 10 years. I know you pour your heart and soul in the work of helping Haiti and also watch all what has been done and all the work that you have done. So let's spend a little bit as one who went to Haiti after the earthquake. And as we remember, 10 years, where were you when you get the call, when you heard the news?
Right. And I had every January 12th, you and I go through this. So this is just the 10th time we have to go through this.
Exactly.
It was heavy for the whole week leading to this, because you and I and those of us who went through this, we lost many people. Where was I? Actually, I was reading some of my own stuff because as a writer, I witness our pain, I witness our loss through my writing and through my artwork. So those who want to see it, you could see like within an hour, the earthquake was at 4:53 on January 12th. And because I do the Ezuli Network, and at that time, we were recording everything. So I go back now and I look at those posts. Everything has fallen down. The National Palace has crashed. These were the words I was writing. And it wasn't even 6 o'clock yet. It was 5:45. Dust. Gudu gudu, I had never heard such a word.
Now it's become a vocabulary word in our dictionary back.
Yes. And for those who don't know, that's just the sound, what it felt like. Gudu gudu gudu, like
when,
that. It felt like that to the people.
When
the earth was shaking. And then the warnings of tsunami and Mr. Obama said he was going to send aid, and I remember just writing all of that because there was such desperation, there was such, it was just apocalyptic. And I got there 2 days later, and it was something you will never, ever want to have to deal with, because the United States, who should have been assisting us, who could have assisted us, blocked the airport. And I remember when I got there, the airport was blocked, and the United States had taken over the airport. And even though the Haitians needed to go to work, they needed to do something, they were kicked out of their jobs at the airport. And everyone thought, okay, so there was going to be a lot of tractors and tanks and equipment to come and help us lift up the concrete. Well, first of all, in a national emergency, it's normally within 72 hours. You want to have a kind of equipment. After 72 hours, anyone who's under the rubble is going to die. Now, the United States, of course, knew that. Those that have those equipments, they knew that. They have something called the CB, which is a part of the U.S. military that builds a city within a week. Then I saw them build it, their base. In 1994, when I went to Haiti, within a week, there was nothing there when they brought Aristide back. But within a week, they had built a whole base with running water and electricity, and because they have that capacity. But that capacity was never used for us in Haiti. And I kept praying that the first black president of the United States would be different, would actually do that. But for the first 2 weeks, the United States was, they shut the airport down, and what they were doing is flying out American citizens. And so that's what they were doing. And they were rescuing people at the hotels, which obviously were foreigners. But in terms of Haitians, what I saw when I went to Haiti was, and this is a part that I wrote in my play. I couldn't write on a artistic level for a long time about this, and it was like 2 years later that I wrote a piece that anyone.
You have to do some healing, want. My friend.
Yeah. Well, that didn't even. I wasn't even there when I was writing that piece. To tell you the truth, it's only now I can say I'm healing. Not healing, but
you cope.
I'm physically much better, much solid. There was a point in time, I think, and I don't think I'm different from many Haitians who experienced. I just wasn't landing. It was like people might be talking to me, but they were someplace else, and I was someplace else. So what I focused on those 10 years was what we could do to make Haiti better so that this would never happen again. And that in itself became a nightmare. Like, it was like a second earthquake because our pain, our people's death was used to take over Haiti, as you know. So this is what I do anyway. So I wrote on January 12th, 2020, 10 years later, Judgment Day has still to come. The performance piece that I wrote to perform as a poet years after this event was called Seismic Shift, Haiti freestyling to murder Tarzan, Jane, and their Sambos. And those who's listening to me, who's interested in it, you can just look it up, Seismic Shift by Esme Dumpel. And you will sort of get a feel of how it felt. I think it was, maybe I wrote it maybe 3 years after the earthquake. I can't remember exactly. I don't know. But it was like we were compounded. We were compounded with catastrophe. First, 316,000 people died in 33 seconds. And everything you knew, like say if there were 29 ministries in Haiti with offices, all of them fell down except one. So there was no government. School children just disappeared. Things like that. And then when the international
cries everywhere, people were just frantic trying to figure what just happened. How do I find my brothers, sisters, mothers? They were just here. What happened to them?
That's what it was. I'm sure we. That's what it was, Virginia. I can't even tell people how I got to Haiti because it was so wild. They
but you made it.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, they were letting in, like, the non-for-profits,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't letting in the Haitian diaspora. I just remember, and I caught a ride. I won't say how, but I caught a plane ride. You know, like, they, for instance, to give me an example, they let the Mormons, had an airplane. And they were allowed to land. But the Haitian doctors had to land in the Dominican Republic.
And then get to the border.
And then we took, to the border and then, you know, come down. Either if you were up in the north, you had to come down. It was like 8 hours to try to get to Port-au-Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I remember. I remember so many people in the streets walking from different parts of Haiti to go down to Port-au-Prince to help. And that's what I remember that. Like people, if you will meet them, yeah, because the bus I remember the bus I was in, it broke down, and then, you know, we started walking. And so imagine that, a whole country walking from wherever they were, whether it was 4 hours away, 1 hour away, 8 hours away, to try to reach their families, because at some point in time, there was no communication with your telephone. And when I got to Port-au-Prince, it was the street boys. It was like these skinny, naked, half-naked orphans on the street that people all sort of kind of made as if they didn't see. Mm-hmm. They were lifting up concrete with their bare hands.
To help save people.
To help save people. In my performance piece, I had to pay honor and respect to the street boys, because I just remember that so vividly. In Haiti, there's a, you know, everybody's a god, you know, like I'm a godmother to many children. Mm-hmm. And there was this, oh my gosh, kept saying to me, "Ezelie, do you hear Martine?" I think I wrote it. It's out there somewhere. Hear Martine. Maybe you guys could find it. Was a little girl, 6 years old, and her mother, I was her godmother. Mm-hmm. And since the earthquake, she had been screaming, and the mother heard her and was trying to lift up the concrete. But 2 days later, when I got there, you couldn't hear her anymore, but the mother could hear her. It was like, you know, we had to kind of get mm-hmm. her away from that, you know, wow. living grave of her daughter. Because, you know, there was a point in time when, you know, Martine wasn't yelling anymore, like for her mother to come in.
To come and get her.
To come and get her. But the mother, to this day, has never stopped hearing Martine's voice.
I am sure. I am certain she
You understand?
I totally do.
So that kind of pain is what we were going through. And, of course, you know, I remember trying to get to the anyway,
but you know, what was important? Yeah. It's that level of solidarity that you mentioned, that community togetherness that we've had, that we use in the countryside, that you don't see much in Port-au-Prince. But during that time, everybody pulled together. There was no bourgeois. There was no people from Cité Soleil. Everybody was like, okay, what do we do? How do we share the bread? How do we share the water? That was a moment, and I think as we went back into politics and everything else, things got shifted back to its original self, and we sort of, I don't know, we lost some of that.
And it was very slow, though, because I have to say, I have become, very kind of a pessimistic person, because I had lived so much with the brutality of the West to Haiti that I expected them to let us die. But there was an expectation, and that's what I watched die in Haiti. Mm-hmm. There was an expectation, like in a movie, mm-hmm. that good people were going to come and help them. I mean, people were like writing signs, "The United States, come and help us." People expected those that had a little bit more would help them, because it was just unfathomable. Like, when I say there was rubble. Unfortunately, the rubble stayed in Haiti for almost 2-3 years afterwards. Yes. But within by March of, so it happened in January, by March of 2010, Bill Clinton had given himself a position as UN in, you know, well, he was already UN Special Envoy to Haiti, but he had created a position for himself as the head of the group of people that were going to build Haiti back better. And I think they spent more money on advertising that than they did on saving the people.
Yes, indeed. We're going to take a musical break, and when we come back, you'll read for us some excerpts from your writing. We're going to listen to Ewol Josie, Garçon Solide.
Moi manqué noyé dans la lagune, garçon solide, garçon solide, oui, comme nous. Si je batte comme dans la lagune, gardez-moi de noyé. Kadia!
Kadia, Kadia!
Kadia, Kadia!
Kadia, Kadia!
Kadia! Manqué noyé! Moi manqué noyé dans la gona, garçon solide moi. Garçon solide, oui, comme nous. Tu me battais comme nous, non, bah c'est ça. Gardez-moi depuis nous. Il volait le comme nous. Kadia bossou comme nous, vrai. Je ne sais pas si c'est ça, je ne sais pas si
c'est ça. Solide.
Welcome back to Combit Laka on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C., with your host, Eugenia Charles. We are speaking with attorney Ezuli Danto from the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. Make noye, a lot of the people will pass. Every time I listen to that piece, I have chill. And it's a song about victims of the earthquake, those who made it, who did not drown. So share with us a piece from your writing about those and the work that you've done.
January 12, 2010, at 4:53 p.m. The world tilted. A tremor took hold of me that won't stop but a pure panic. On that amputated limb stretching to explore this unfathomable agony with no arms I teach. I see Dubai and sell you like the pieces Louisiana territory the French didn't own but sold to Jefferson. Last night I was at this poetry session to celebrate the life of one of the poets. And as my friends got up on the stage, I thought to myself, it's time to write this. Can I do this? Can I write this about this pain? We already had all this hardship in Haiti after the bicentennial coup d'etat. And here we are. Bloody, dismembered limb, twisting on an island floor, even as the incomprehensible shock of 316 dead in 33 seconds, paralyzed limbs, amputated without anesthesia, some unnecessarily amputated. And then the organ traffickers came feasting, taking our eyes, our melanin, taking away our children. And then Hillary Clinton let Lord Silsby go after she took away 33 of our children. Yes, we already had hardship on a daily basis. We already bloody dismembered limbs twisting on the island floor. Even as we endured 42,000 blood-sucking NGOs masturbating on black pain, even as we mourn our school-bitten Haiti zombies who will never be normal, I can be paralyzed when we've got to stop the Haiti Conseil's return, the will of Dessalines' people. We are a people who have endured. We've endured since 1503, endured 300 years of chattel slavery, 200 years of debt, dependency, and containment in poverty, and now this U.S. occupation behind a humanitarian front. It's hard, really hard to fight forced assimilation, because that's what they want us to do, to assimilate with their profit over people culture, deny ourselves and our own interests, and pursue the world-destroying interests of power elite structure. The pattern doesn't change. Yes, the old missionaries are now the friends of Haiti. The cornucopia of perverted foreign diplomats, UN human traffickers, sex ring pedophiles, and charitable industrial complex. But they call themselves the non-profits, and they were unleashed to subjugate and control the long movement for Haiti's economic liberation. And then the rains came. January 12, 2010, at 4:53, the world tilted. A tremor took over that won't stop, but at pure panic. I say hello and goodbye now with tight hugs, because it might be the last time. Because it's been the last time with so many I didn't expect to lose. Over 316 sacrificed in an apocalyptic but very suspicious earthquake. Nothing happened with the Dominican Republic. And then Business Week said we had oil. And then they said there was a gold rush. But I do remember cholera came 7 months later. But before that, right after the earthquake, the rains came. It just kept raining. I can't stand the rain. Bodily tremors, soul tremors, shivering, wounded, traumatized earthquake victims entombed on flooded streets, together with the dead remains of family and friends still interned under the rubble, never removed. Almost 2 million blacks living horribly, quivering uncontrollably for over a year under soggy tarps and flooded in mud from Hurricane Thomas. And then the UN said it didn't matter who brought the cholera. Then came Obama. Starting deportations back to earthquake-ravaged Haiti, cholera-ravaged Haiti, beta-ravaged Haiti, NGO-ravaged Haiti. Oh, but that wasn't enough. Duvalier came back. After 25 years of exile in France to boost up Haiti's unendurable suffering, the Obama administration legitimizing the old Duvalierist dictatorship, that the Lavalac movement had sacrificed so many innocent lives to annihilate. Imagine it. Dastardly Duvalier licking his evil chops on room service delicacies while protected behind UN and US Obama bullets, bombs, and biological weapons, and stark contrast to the diet of Clorox hunger, Clinton famine, international looting, UN and foreign sex abuse, the poor population is force-fed daily. Obama allows the bloody Duvalier to safely enter earthquake Haiti. He calls Zuma in South Africa and forbids Democratic elected President Aristide to return. The old sadistic evil beat goes on and on. Duvalierists, the overseers for empire in Haiti, now they become piachikas, men in peace-suited local looters, chokomakus, the career Haiti technocrats and stooges working for the international looters at the International Recovery Commission with Bill Clinton. They were supposed to build Haiti back better while lending a local blackface to Haiti's rape, pillage, and plunder.
Beautiful. Let's listen to... You want to go ahead? Zili?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, we're going to take a quick break with the blasé one, Gaspiller l'argent, so we can continue, because I thought that was the appropriate songs after you read what you've just shared. What you've just shared with us.
Let's do it.
Yeah. di a tout tan. Si diaspora ta di ke yo pa fè transfer Haiti ta vin pichou. Pase l'enfer yon peyi ki pa gen vil adan. Apre katè insécurité blayi se moun ya met a tè. Pendan ou bon l'état ki gon tax la touche. Et même l'on malade d'hôpital ou pa ka couche. Peyi a sans avenir, personne va vle rete. Jeunesse la dépravé, yon pa jen travail pou fè. Gaspille l'argent pendant député. Kabote l'état pendant sénateur. Et puis malheureux pa ka manje. Pa gen gasoline peyi bloqué. Mais pas ici, pas qu'on essaye. Les ouvres, les copies, au Caribe. Nous tapons la rue manifestée. Mais tu fais un dégât, je t'aurai. Mon Dieu, t'es dictatif, son travail tout entier. Jeunesse pour réagir, la bataille pour camper. Pays a plein de problèmes, ma conscience qui manquait. Politiciens au Chine, ils ont sans respect pour bon Dieu. Malgré les plaques de goût, y a fait débat. Tout le monde en chômage, y'a pas épargné ça. Chaque jour, c'est corruption, la boîte, l'État. Jeunesse a dit le bouquet, cette fois, c'est une barbe ça. Comment te sentir, vivre sans fierté, belle des Antilles, Haïti ou Théye. Je ne jodi, député, sénateur, président, yo volé, yo soucié, yo pillé. Comment te sentir, n'a vivre sans fierté, belle des Antilles, Haïti ou Théye. Je ne jodi, député, sénateur, président, yo volé, yo soucié, yo pillé. Gaspille l'argent pendant député, gaboté l'état pendant sénateur, et puis malheureux pas qu'à manger. Gen gasoline pays bloqué. Si pe pa ici va qu'on essaye. Le ou vole copie trop caribé.
Welcome back to Combat Lakai, where you're speaking with attorney Ezili Danto from the Haitian Lawyers Leadership, and you are listening to Blase One Gaspiller l'argent. Wasting the money. What do you think, huh? A lot of money got wasted.
A lot of money. And the thing is, right, when I was writing about, you know, today, 10 years later, I nobody really knows how much money, but the normal amounts that are being talked about is $21 billion. $13.3 billion was raised in the name of the dead earthquake victims and the $1.5 million that were on the street, homeless. And there about 500,000, somebody's between 500,000 to 100 to 1.5 million who were hurt. That was the money that was raised to help give them a better life. $13.3 billion were raised at the UN, going to the World Bank under the supervision of Bill Clinton. And then the other $8 billion or so was raised by private donations. So that makes it 13 plus 8, which is $21 billion. There's a book that gives these numbers, and for those who want to go look for it, it's called The Great Humanitarian Aid Swindle by Timothy Schwartz. He's an mm-hmm. aid worker. Oh, yes, he has yes. been in Haiti for a long time, and he wrote that book, and that's where I got the numbers, because people always ask me, where do you get the numbers?
Not, you know, it's not enough, you Haitian. You've been doing this for your whole life.
Exactly. That's why I like person to underline it for you. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. So you don't exist.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
It makes me crack up all the time when that happened. I'm like, okay, you know better than I do. All right.
Yeah, you know, really. So, and it's the same thing, you know, because since 2004, I've been talking about why the United States has built its largest embassy in the Western Hemisphere in Haiti. And it's, you know, only recently people, it's like, Ezri, oh my goodness, you used to talk about Haiti's oil and gold and iridium. Oh my goodness, now the mainstream media is talking about it. That's when it's real.
But all those years.
after all those articles. It is not real until some white person or some approved assimilated Negro starts talking about it. And then, you know, I mean, but to this day, you don't really see them talking about Haiti's oil. But I'm always saying the United States built its largest, and no one ever repeats it, you know, because, but of course, they're waiting for some white person to repeat it first.
What I want to acknowledge is that when you finally see these articles that come out on those papers, a lot of the information that are being put on there is based on the work that people like you, I, and others do. you don't get the credit.
Exactly. You know, it's just that we're invisible for some reason.
You don't get the credit.
We don't exist.
But you've been, when they go online, they research, they find them, they read it, they're like, oh, this was there. But you know,
yeah.
We embrace you.
Know, but me, listen, okay? I'll tell you another example of that. When I first started seeing what the non-for-profits were doing in Haiti, which was essentially working as new missionaries to make the people dependent and essentially destroy the economy for local businesses, because, just imagine in America if the non-for-profits came in and your local business would die because they're giving everything away for free.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, they can work in a crisis.
They wouldn't allow them
to. They would never allow them to do that in America, right? Because charity can't give you justice or development. There's a reason for it. So, and they only give charity to certain people sometimes. I remember after the earthquake, some voodooists were not given food until they converted to Christianity. I remember that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, I want to switch with you quickly. Earlier we were talking about trying to link all of this together. We are about to celebrate MLK's birthday, and we know what legacy his work has left for us here in this country. And even those of us back home, people look upon what he's done and how that served us to take it to the next level. And all the Haiti did it and then utilized that to do what he had to do here in the state. And looking at how many Haitians have lost their life in order to allow us to find that ground, that space to be able to speak and take that fight on. And him as well working with the less fortunate here, fighting for the workers' rights. And he lost his life. I mean, putting all these things together, I mean, you know, they will say it's conspiracy theory. You know what I mean? But with all of that, and finally we had the case we were talking about earlier about him. How do we all tie this together that it is one fight? Whether you're in Haiti, whether you're in Africa, you are in the ghettos here in America and some other parts. You may be a well-to-do African-American. You get a home in a wealthy neighborhood. You're still black.
Yes. And you know, honor and respect to his name. By the time Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, he had come to understand and be more intellectually closer to Malcolm X and Jean-Jacques Dessalines than ever before, because he realized that he was dealing with an entity and a people that were consciousless, without conscious. That there is, to speak about the ineffectiveness of nonviolence movement for attempting to appeal to the moral conscious of a people or an economic elite that neither had morals nor consciousness. And I think those are the lessons that when we take a moment this Monday to remember his life, we have to remember that he had come very close to understanding that there was no moral consciousness at the core of this nation that they call the United States. And the Western Eurasians that came to this so-called, they call the New World, and that we had to start thinking differently. When you look at IT, for instance, Haiti, I mean, just the very name, you know, its name is IT, but they made sure that we put an H in there that you could say hate.
I know, almost hate.
Yeah, it's hate. It did it on purpose. You
like
see,
you hate yourself
no
or something.
Yes, because they have no conscience, because the name is IET. You see, an ah is a sound of creation. So we're working on various levels here with an entity that has no conscience. And it hurts all of us in the planet. There are 7.5 billion people on this planet, and we are being ruled by less than 1% of the people on this planet, and they have created different tools like the artificial legal entity, which is the corporation, so that it has more rights than human beings and more power than human beings. And then they use the media and the military and their schools and their religions and so forth to reinforce that.
But Dr. King had begun to understand where he was at, you know. So by the time he was assassinated, and I'm, you know, what you were referring to is there was a 1999 case that his family brought against the government agencies of the United States. And these government agencies were found guilty of murdering Dr. King. That case is never spoken about, of course, by the white liberals and all these people who are going on Monday, going to go to church, put their arms around some crying black woman. They won't talk about the assassination conspiracy or the trial where Coretta Scott King, before she died, she talked about the you know, Herbert Hoover and the court's unanimous verdict that the U.S. was directly involved with his assassination. And so we're going to make as if that didn't happen. It's the same way right now when she takes Reuters, who's talking about this dictator that they've put into Haiti after the earthquake.
Good transition. I was about to take you there. That's why we click together, okay? I was about to take you there. You just did it. Thank you.
Go ahead. You can go.
Look, it's lovely. I was like, the question was right at the tip of my mouth, and then you so keep diving in.
So, you know, it's the same thing. You have the U.S. ambassador right now, and they act so innocent. You see, like they're our neutral party. But right now, just like during the earthquake, Michel Martelly, under those circumstances, would ever have been a president of Haiti. But they put him into power, and because they had been grooming him for a long time, the U.S., because they understand that we are people of rhythm, a people of music, a people of, and you know, so they use music and they use the media. And once they get you into their colonial celebrityism, you're just lured into it. So now we have the successor of Michel Martelly, which is Jovenel Moïse. This guy was incriminated as a money launderer even before he became president. He was not elected. He was put in by Digicel, just like Martelly was put in by a bunch of monitors. I mean, but nobody remembers this, because if you read the newspapers that the establishment controls, it's like Haiti has democracy. Okay. And so there's, if you want to look at this article, the one you pointed to me, Eugenia, about how Jovenel Moïse, he's now, of course, there's no facade because there's no more parliament, so he's ruling by decree, which means he's a dictator, exactly. And the U.S. government is having Reuters write this article about how he's going to change the Haitian constitution. Now, this guy who's unelected, brought in, he's a criminal who has been accused of the massacres, many massacres, including La Saline massacres. He says he's going to change our constitution. You see, so the earthquake brought us more than just the death, the looting of our resources. Martelly also, you know, tried to sell some of Haiti's islands to the elites. He also he made it illegal to be a vodouist. And sometimes I laugh at the so-called vodouist like leaders. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you know that on the record you're illegal?
We have a lot of work to do. Okay.
Oh my God. Okay. So we have that situation right now where, like you said, Eugenia, the same people who helped kill the saint, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, who essentially gave his life so that there would be equality and justice, and that paper that we call American Constitution would have some teeth, you know, for justice for all. You know, he was killed by that government, and there's a court case that proves it. But on Monday, we are all going to talk about I Have a Dream. And we're going to forget that Dr. King said that America is the most violent is the greatest perpetrator of violence on planet Earth. And today, that's what America is, the United States. America is the whole continent. But the United States, the one superpower in the world, and we here, all of us, have to give face to something different. And that's what I try to do, and you try to do every day, to give face to something different.
And you know the something thing is, that it's the same system. The system MLK was fighting against, it is that same mm-hmm. system that people in Haiti are standing up and fighting against. That is that same system that Jovenel represents.
That's right.
So it is quite interesting. It is already 9:55. I'm going to allow you to say a few remarks before I let you go. It's always a pleasure to have you on Combit Laka, and we have so much to talk about. We can never finish in 1 hour. So Haitians. It's 2020. A lot of people are saying Haiti is going to have a very difficult year this year. It will come out on top. But how do Haitians in the diaspora and back home go back to this sense of community to get us out of this thing? How do we finish off with this dictatorship that is about to, you know, come to full fruition? What's your words of wisdom for us?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you and I should be depressed and depleted, but we're not. We should feel impoverished and worn out because we've been in this struggle for a long time. But for some reason, and I'm pretty sure I know it's because of who our ancestors were. So what I can say to Haitians who are suffering what you and I suffer every day, or and human beings who are watching war and the brink of war with this system that puts profit before people and that doesn't mind lying to your face daily, I know for us, Haitian, that our culture is our sword, that our integrity is our sword, and that we are not the corrupt, innately corrupt thing that the media puts out. Because I know what I am. I know what you are. And I know we women of IT are the center of IT. So let these Haitian men go along, running around, yelling and screaming on the radio.
Excellent. We're gonna leave it there.
I have to get there.
Exactly. I thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you, my sister. Thank you. Bless you to you as well for all the work that you're doing for the community.
You too, darling. Honor and respect, Eugenia, for everything that you do.
All right. Aye, Bobo. We were speaking with Attorney Ezuli Danton, looking at what's going on in Haiti and, of course, putting it all into context. The struggle is one struggle no matter where you are, what continent you are in. Have an excellent weekend. Thank you so much for listening to Combit Laka. I will see you next Saturday. I'm going to leave you with Tiga Jean-Baptiste Jawanto.
La vérité n'a pas changé, nous pas vraiment mentir encore. La vérité nous beauté, la vérité n'a pas changé, nous pas vraiment mentir encore. Why?